This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Join the show. The number 603-283-6160. Maybe you live in one of these more urban areas where stores like Walgreens, in this case what we're discussing, CVS, are putting into place new anti-theft measures. Not only are they locking up product because of massive theft, but they're also now having customers order at a kiosk, and then the employees will go and shop for the customer, which, of course, is a huge inconvenience in a lot of ways. I mean, for some people, they might find it convenient, right? People that just want other people to do things for them. But for those of us, as you pointed out, Chris, what if you want to actually look at the details of a product? What if you don't know what you want? It's fine if you know what you want, right? Like, if you are going into one of these places, you're like, I got to get this exact product because I always buy it and I know what it is. And okay, fine. You order that, you wait, they bring it to you. But what if you're not sure? Like, you're trying to figure out.
I can see, somebody who's maybe got a medical issue needing to find out what ingredients are in the product.
Absolutely.
Right? Maybe they have an allergy or something, you know.
What if you just want to go and smell the scents of shampoo aisle, right? Like, that's a nice thing to do. I don't want to get a scent that doesn't smell good. I want to have something that's, you know, smells right for me, right? Yup, sorry, it's all locked up. And now you have to wait on an employee to, what, stand there with you as you sample these things?
And, you know, it's kind of, you know, interesting because it's like, are you supposed to be like, okay, can you bring me all your shampoos? Like,
yeah, it's ridiculous.
A sample of each of your shampoo. I mean, you got 20 shampoos on the shelf. Is the employee supposed to go and get each one of them?
Obviously, that's
not
going to happen.
And then decide, you know, you then get to decide which shampoo you want?
I mean, I guess in theory, you could go with an employee. They could open up the lockbox and then give you access.
Are you going to be allowed behind the counter? It sounds like that's not how they're doing.
I don't know. That's a good question, right? So, like, are they going to have all this?
I mean, they have a kiosk.
Yeah, that's a good question, is how is this store going to be laid out? Because what we've seen is they're trying to retrofit on older stores. They're just adding lock cases to the existing shelving.
Hmm.
But if they're going to redesign an entire store around anti-theft, then yeah, you might be right. There just might not be any aisles whatsoever, and it's just going to be kiosks everywhere, and then people in a large stock room, they're going to be picking product. Yeah, it's a great point. Yeah, so we don't really know what this is going to be like. Unless, did they open the thing yet? Or is it something they're just talking about?
I'd love to see pictures of those.
No, it's rolled out. Okay, so the store itself looks like an older, at least as far as the photo that's here in this story, the outside of the store looks pretty similar. There's only one, yeah. So these are just locked up. Okay, so it's an older Walgreens with just a bunch of locking cases now. So you can still walk around the store. You can still look and see what's on the shelves.
Okay.
But
you still can't see the product information, like on the back of the product or anything like that. Yeah.
You cannot pull the product off the shelf on your own volition and examine it. And as you might imagine, this is going to upset some people. We'll talk about that here. But we summoned him. Major Payne is on the line in Michigan. Because you had said, Chris, that in the old days, this is actually how it used to work in some stores.
You'd go up to, I believe the way it was is you'd go into a store, but it was like there was a counter, and then everything was behind the counter, and then an employee would go and wherever the product was, get that product for you and bring it back to you.
What about that, Major Payne? Do you remember that from back in the day?
I think this predates all of us. There are almost all of us alive today.
I don't remember that, but the big bulk goods, like the bulky things, the blankets and the bags of beans and whatnot, they'd be out there where the customers could wander around and check it out, because the ladies like to look at the different materials and whatnot for the dress picking. But all the canned goods and bullets and, you know, things that belong on shelves, yeah, that stuff was all behind the counter.
Oh, you remember this?
Huh?
Well, it sounds like you remember this.
Western, From watching old westerns, pretty much.
Okay. This, you're saying this is way back. This is the 1800s.
I think this would have been probably early 1900s before the you know, the big department store. I think the department stores is what changed that to where you can actually walk into a store and like look around the store. I think before that, everything was basically locked up and you just walk in and there would
was
be
was that due to
and,
theft back then? Or
I think it was to protect the goods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Makes sense.
This was before cameras and things like that.
Yeah, obviously.
There was a couple old hardware stores I remember, and they'd probably been handed down from grandfather or father to son, right? There was like 100-year-old stock in some of these things. And a lot, I know buying many things, I'd look at the price and says, damn, that box price ain't been changed in 35, 40 years. But all the exterior walls were ceiling to floor shelves, and they had the old rolling ladders that went along the wall, you know?
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, and you wouldn't have a chance without the old boy that owned the store because he's the only one that knew where everything was.
Right. All right.
But there was a couple. There was a store in the town I grew up in, and it's kind of funny you guys are talking about the blow tubes in cars now.
Mm-hmm.
We had a drive-through beer store.
Yeah, we had one of those where I grew up, too.
Yep.
Actually, I think it was a packaged liquor store. I think you could drive through and get liquor, too, at this store.
Huh. I was going to tell you another one, too. I ran into this. I don't remember if I was in Wyoming or Montana. I think Montana. But I found a bar with a drive-through.
Yeah, wow.
They had a really weakly written state statute that basically just said all to-go liquor has to be in a sealed container.
Mm-hmm.
So that just meant they put the lid on the top and they didn't poke the straw through the hole and they were good to go.
Sealed.
So you could pull up and get, you know, two margaritas and two gin and tonics and two rum and cokes and hit the highway.
You know, what's interesting is that in other countries you can buy beer at, like, gas stations. They just sell it, like, out in the open.
You can do that in most places.
Out west, you can buy guns and ammo at the gas station.
You can buy beer here in New Hampshire at the gas station, too.
Oh, no. I mean, like outside, like, not inside the gas station. Like, you're thinking of it inside a physical store. I'm talking about literally buying beer, like, right, like, without getting out of your car.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, a little bit different.
Like somebody comes up and hands
yeah, the
you.
Gas attendant will hand you a beer, okay. You know, like cases of beer, right? Like these are right there,
got it.
Advertised, open, like stacks of like beer right next to the gas pumps.
Hmm. All right. What else, Major?
Well, I got a good segue for you on your Trump Mexico thing. You know what the cartels are up to now? A couple of the rural provinces. One of them is Michoacan. I think the other one might be Chihuahua.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very rural, very small villages, isolated. The cartel has taken drones, and they rigged them up so they can drop some homemade bombs, and they're running all the villagers out of the provinces, trying to take over the whole damn countryside.
Where'd you hear that?
I just heard it on the radio a couple days ago. It was on Relevant Radio.
Yeah. I'm going to call into question any claims about what the cartels are doing. And it just all sounds like propaganda to me because the other side of the story when it comes to cartels is usually they treat the people of any given area better than the government does. The cartels...
That's what I'd heard that rhetoric before,
yeah,
too.
The cartels help a lot of people. They help a lot of people out down there when the government isn't going to do jack diddly for people. It's the cartels that are, you know, helping people in various different ways.
Yeah, I mean, the cartels, they want people on their side.
They do.
They have they don't want people ratting them out. They don't want the cops coming in. They want to, they want to... go under
yeah,
the radar.
So, anything that's talking bad about the cartels, I'm going to call as potential propaganda by the United States to justify a war.
Well, when they first started out with the story, I heard cartels using drones to bomb locals. I'm thinking,
doesn't make sense.
Oh, they must be attacking the federales.
Yeah, that
but
could
it
be.
Wouldn't go.
It doesn't make sense that they would bomb locals. It's just that doesn't make business sense for them. Thank you for the call tonight, Major. I appreciate hearing from you. And you're going to hear more of this, just as what were we saying the other night, and I'm sorry, I don't know who it was that originated this quote, but the first casualty of war is the truth, right? Mm-hmm. And we've seen that with Ukraine, where you don't know what either side is saying is true. You have no idea what's actually going on because you cannot trust either side. And look, I'm not saying trust the cartel, okay, but there's certain things that make sense, and and other things that don't make sense. And it doesn't make sense for them to attack the people who are their neighbors, who otherwise they could be engendering good feelings with and help protect them, essentially.
Yeah, you know what's interesting is, like, if you look at some of the interviews that they've done with cartels and things, like over the years, like media and different media outlets, one of the things that you'll notice is that the cartels, it's not that they won't attack, like, the police, for example, but they don't attack the police if they'll take a bribe, right?
Sure.
So it's not quite what people make it out to be. The reason that, you know, they get violent is often because, well, certain people aren't taking the bribes. You know, they're not out to kill you.
Right, and usually the violence is against the other cartels, not against, you know, randos on the street or whatever. That doesn't make sense for them to do.
Why spend a bullet when you don't have to?
So we can talk about the cartels here in a little bit because that is also in the news. But just continuing on the story about Walgreens locking down their inventory, they say that customers will have an area in which they can pick up orders, digital kiosks for placing the orders, as well as an area to shop for essential items. Despite the digital upgrades, so-called, and efforts to ensure a safe shopping experience, customers went online to voice their disapproval of the changes, as reported by Lipstick Alley, some website. "This is dumb," said one customer. "Sadly, I can see more stores doing this. We are definitely living in the twilight zone now." Another customer said, "I knew this would happen. Next stop will be having to scan an ID or credit card before being able to enter the store at all."
That's the thing I find most disturbing. It's not that they're locking stuff behind the counter. It's, you know, wanting IDs and things like that.
Which, of course, if you're ordering online, I mean, you got to put a credit card in there unless they take crypto.
Yep.
So, I mean, you're going to have to ID yourself in that case.
That's why I prefer crypto.
Yeah.
But you still have to give them your name, I mean, in order to get it delivered.
Or you have to give them a name, right?
Well, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But, of course, if it's with a credit card, then
they know who
you are. You can get credit cards that are not in your name, though. But
prepaid cards.
Well,
no, even those, they want you to give a social security number.
Even like a bank, if you go and you get a debit card or something like that, you can get them in, you know, whatever name you want.
Like a corporate name or something?
They're not going to let
you put any old name on there.
Yeah, they will.
Without showing paperwork? Then you're going to have to show paperwork.
No, you're going to have to show them your ID to open the bank account, right? A driver's license. Yeah. But what's on the physical card doesn't have to be your name.
Really?
Yeah, PayPal, same thing. You can get names and other, you know, or cards and other people's names.
Another customer said, "This is why I do 95% of my shopping online. I don't like being treated like a criminal." Others defended Walgreens' decision and noted that shoplifting and crime are to blame for the new experience at the Chicago location. Quote, "This is where we're headed. Criminality has infested American culture. Companies are going to do what they can to prevent theft, which includes making it more difficult to steal." Whether this is going to put this company out of business or not remains to be seen. How much their business is going to drop, I don't know. But I don't know if I agree that criminality has infested American culture. I mean, for instance, here in Keene, New Hampshire, population 20,000 roughly, you can walk into the CVS here at 2 in the morning and good luck finding an employee.
Yeah.
Like, if you actually need help with something, you got to look around that store, or I think they might have a buzzer or a bell or something like that at the front of the store.
Definitely a bell.
You can ding them
buzzer
up there.
Yep.
But it's like there's one employee watching over this entire store of merchandise. And so there's literally, I mean, beyond the cameras that are present, there's literally no security at the Keene CBS, which is a whole other world from what we're talking about here in Chicago, where nearly every product, it sounds like 80% of the store, is under lock and key, and you have to order through some kind of kiosk. So, you know, the problem of criminality that they're talking about, quote-unquote, infesting American culture, it hasn't made its way to, at the very least, Keene, New Hampshire quite yet. Now, as I understand it, in Manchester, you are more likely to, which is the, quote, big city here in New Hampshire with 125,000 people, you are more likely to see, like, bums on the street, heroin needles and things like that. And where you've got people like that, you are more likely to have people that are stealing from convenience stores and that.
Yeah, I don't know about the CVS's, but you're probably more likely to get shot if you rob the wrong store
in New Hampshire,
just because there are convenience stores and people do have guns behind the counter. So
yeah, that much is true. The rest of the story here, though, from another customer saying, "This was definitely coming. Shoplifting is beyond out of control. I'm not too surprised. And I'm not mad at it. Stealing has gotten out of control, and there's now whole online communities dedicated to it," said a third person. So, and that's what they say is behind the massive thefts that are happening at these stores, is they're like essentially online secondhand sales rings that use homeless people. This is what I've heard, at least. It's going on out in California, so it's probably happening in Chicago as well. They recruit homeless people who have absolutely nothing to live for. They just don't, they just want to get their next hit of crack or whatever it is, heroin. And so, we'll just go into the Walgreens, load up this backpack or whatever full of product, and we'll give you a crack rock or whatever, or, $20 or whatever it is they're paying them. I don't know what kind of cut they're getting out of this. But then they bring the product back to the gangster, whoever it is that hired them. The gangster has his way of selling these products on sites like eBay, for instance, where they sell them at full price. They get them at near to zero price, or, whatever it is they got to pay the homeless person to go in and do the job. So apparently a lot of these products that are being stolen from the Walgreens, the CVS, are just getting resold online by essentially gangs that are doing this at a very, very large level. Like, they're renting warehouses and storing inventory in warehouses they're stealing from these stores. It's crazy. So if you want to comment, you can join the show here. The number is 603-283-6160. And some stores are just saying, you know what? We're out. They're not even bothering with the locking down of the products. They're just saying, this isn't worth it to be in these places. And there's a story here from the San Francisco Standard about Nordstrom, which is planning to close both of its downtown San Francisco stores, choosing not to renew its lease obligations at its location in Westfield Mall. It will also close a second nearby downtown store called Nordstrom Rack. The retailer confirmed the closures recently. In an email to employees, the company's chief stores officer wrote that, quote, "The dynamics of the downtown San Francisco market have changed dramatically over the past several years, impacting customer foot traffic to our stores and our ability to operate successfully." The two planned closures represent about 357,000 square feet of retail space, according to the San Francisco Business Times. Remember, it was just several weeks ago that we had a story about how Whole Foods closed their San Francisco location. Now, Whole Foods was saying, well, we're going to see if we can reopen it with some changes or whatever. So maybe they're planning to go a Walgreens route and starting to lock down a lot of the store. But due to safety issues for their staff, they did not feel as though they could continue operating and keep their staff safe from, whatever crazed bums or whoever it is that are on the streets, potentially putting them in danger. So they're closing up by the end of August, and also another one of the Nordstroms on July 1st. And, of course, Nordstrom is, as I understand it, fairly high-end shopping experience. I think there was one where I grew up in Florida, and I went there once with my parents or whatever.
Is this like a grocery store?
No. This is
what kind of store is this?
Imagine like an upscale JCPenney.
Okay.
Or Sears or something like that, where probably not Sears isn't the right term. I'm pretty sure Nordstrom is like focused on wearables. But I could be wrong about that. But they're generally considered like a fancier kind of shopping experience. And downtown San Francisco just isn't the place for a fancy shopping kind of experience. You're just going to get targeted by gangs. The mall said that this is a statement from the mall's owner in a statement that the planned closure, quote, "underscores the deteriorating situation in downtown San Francisco. A growing number of retailers and businesses are leaving the area due to the unsafe conditions for customers, retailers, and employees, coupled with the fact that these significant issues are preventing an economic recovery of the area." And if you've been paying attention, you know that things got much, much worse. I mean, they were bad in San Francisco from, what you hear about things. I don't live there, but I've visited there a couple times in the last 2 decades for conferences or whatever, and never really got to experience most of the city because it's one of those things where you fly in, you take a cab to the hotel, you do the conference, and then you leave. Maybe you explore the block or two around the hotel, but that was about it. So I can't say I have any kind of a feel for what things were like, but if you talk to people who grew up there, you talk to people who lived there, and they tell you it's just swirling down the toilet bowl in the city. And then it got much worse during COVID because then there was the lockdowns, of course, that happened. And San Francisco was known for being one of the worst of all of the places in the United States, the most kind of China-like the places was San Francisco with the most serious lockdowns. A lot of small businesses went out of business during that time frame. They never came back. So, you know, once you start losing businesses out of like strip malls and actual malls or whatever, they start looking empty. And there's just this kind of feeling that develops of you know, decline, right? Like if you've got a shopping center and it's 50% full, that doesn't look very attractive. It doesn't look like those businesses are having success. It doesn't look like a place that, you know, a lot of people are going to want to spend time. So that, you know, has just kind of compiled on upon itself, and now you've got major retailers like Whole Foods and now Nordstrom closing locations. There's not going to be a bounce back for this unless San Francisco gets the situation under control as a city. And there's no indication that that's going to happen because they're a total, like, big government, total control kind of government there. So, you know, you're likely not going to see a return to gun rights or, you know, return to property rights or anything like that. So, again, they're saying a lot of these businesses are leaving. The mall's owner went on to say that it had expressed serious concerns to city leaders for many years and, quote, urged the city to find solutions to the key issues and lack of enforcement against rampant criminal activity. Nordstrom announced it would expand its presence in California by opening more stores in cities across the state, but they're closing them down in San Francisco. If you want to comment here, you can join us. The number is 603-283-6160. We've got Tim in Florida. Tim, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Hey, Nordstrom is the kind of store where the cheapest thing you can buy is a throw pillow on clearance for like $30.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a fancier department store, basically.
Yeah, they had a Nordstrom rack, so the stuff they can't sell at Nordstrom ends up going to Nordstrom rack, and then they've got one location in Phoenix, Arizona. It's called Last Chance. They've had a lot of fire hazard issues, you know, like where people trample each other over there.
Whoa.
They get designer stuff, you know, for like 90% off.
That's crazy. Any thoughts on what's going on?
Well, what was the name of the guy in Oliver Twist that they used to pay the kids to go and pickpocket?
I don't think I've ever read the book, so I can't tell you.
Not a clue.
That's what it reminded me of. I just saw the movie. You know, in high school, I think we all read the play. But basically, he paid the orphans. You know, he took care of the orphans, and they go and pickpocket and bring it back.
Yeah, this probably isn't as compassionate as that sounds, because I suspect the gangsters who are hiring the homeless people aren't taking care of them. They're just giving them crack rock and sending them along their way. Tim, thanks for the call and the heads up on that tonight. There's more coming up. Free Talk Live.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Yeah.
USA News Update. Speaking from the Oval Office in a primetime address to the nation, President Biden said the debt ceiling deal passed this week was truly bipartisan.
Both sides operated in good faith. Both sides kept their word.
Biden said not everyone got everything they wanted, but the American people got what they needed. He will sign that bill that will avert a U.S. default into law tomorrow. The Department of Justice has informed former Vice President Mike Pence that they will not pursue criminal charges regarding his handling of classified documents after leaving office. Earlier this year, Pence's lawyers informed the DOJ about the discovery of a few classified documents at his Indiana home. After seeing a slowdown in new memberships for its Prime service, Amazon is in discussions with telecom providers to potentially offer low-cost or free mobile phone services to its Prime subscribers. Amazon in talks with Verizon and T-Mobile. John Schaefer, USA News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. Phones are open. And you can join the show. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Joining you here tonight is Ian
and Chris.
So I mentioned at the beginning of the show that there's some unfortunate news surrounding Donald Trump and his campaign for president, which, you know, we're not following these campaigns very closely here on Free Talk Live because what's the point? They're all a bunch of lying scum, so who cares? But there are some people that are out there that... let's say they begrudgingly support Donald Trump because the old saying is the devil you know, right? And I'm not saying I'm one of these people, okay? I'm all about, as far as in the Republican primary, supporting the Free Stater who's running. That's Aaron Day. And he's actually a principled libertarian who understands that the war on drugs is insane and that, you know, drugs need to be legalized, and he's pro-secession.
Nice.
So, yeah, check out Aaron Day if you haven't. Aaron R. Day. He's doing great work. In fact, he just published a book. He sent a copy to the show. I haven't even had a chance to open it yet, so I'm hoping to get a chance to look at it, and then we'll have him on to talk about it. But there's still some people that don't know about Aaron's campaign, and so they're trying to figure out, oh, you know, who do I vote for in the Republican primary? And there's some libertarians that are looking at Donald Trump because of one issue. Not because he's a libertarian. Not because he's pretending to be a libertarian. He's not. You know what you got when you got Donald Trump. You got bigger government. You got COVID mandates. You got all kinds of, you know, big government stuff. But the one issue that's important to these libertarians is anti-war. And they view Donald Trump, and by the way, Reed Coverdale's a co-host on occasion on Free Talk Live. We haven't had him on in a while because he's been really busy, but and he doesn't live in the area anymore. But he's been posting online about how he's willing to vote for Trump in the primary. And because of this one particular issue of that Trump, during his presidency, was the least warring, the least warmongering of all of the presidents that we've had in my lifetime, at least. I mean, would you agree with that?
I don't know.
Did he start any new wars?
He didn't, but...
He did not. Did he draw down the troops in Afghanistan?
Didn't we have a president in the 90s, like, where, I don't know, where
no.
We didn't go, no? All right.
No, Bill Clinton was involved in some warmongering stuff, for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Did he draw down troops from Afghanistan? He did.
Yeah.
Yep, he did. Did he have peace talks with Kim Jong-un, the first president in the history of North Korea to ever actually meet with a North Korean president?
Yeah.
He did. He did. And it didn't go anywhere, ultimately, unfortunately, because of whatever reason. But they did meet on more than one occasion, and there was actual talk about peace between the Koreas, North and South. And largely, that was because of Donald Trump. So, did he completely end war? No. Did he, you know, withdraw the troops from all the military bases? No, of course not. I mean, I'm not saying he's some anti-war guy, but his rhetoric on, you know, on conflict internationally has been more peaceful than a lot of the competition has. And even during his campaign this time around, you know, he's had the rhetoric, at least as far as with Ukraine, when he's been asked questions about Ukraine, he wants the conflict to end. He doesn't want to continue funding it. And he got a lot of heat for what he said about that at the CNN town hall just a few weeks ago.
Interesting.
So, I mean, as far as monsters go, he is the devil that you know, and we know what he did the 4 years that he was in. He didn't reduce the government like he made people think that he was going to do. I'm not trying to say he did what he said he was going
to
do.
He wants to redirect the troops to the border, though.
Well, now that's what I wanted to get into here. And up until whenever this, you know, news came out within the last couple of days, he seemed to be a less warmongering option. But now he's adopting the new hot Republican, you know, perspective, which is that they should go after the drug dealers in Mexico with the U.S. military. Now, before this viewpoint coming out from Trump, he was already bad on the war on drugs, right? So I'm not trying to represent him as in any way libertarian, okay? He already was asking for death penalties for drug dealers, which is not libertarian at all.
No, definitely not.
Libertarian viewpoint is, look, these drugs may be bad, but people should be free to make choices for themselves, and that includes the choice to put something dangerous into their own bodies. And if you're free to put something dangerous into your own body, you should be free to buy and sell the dangerous thing that these people want to put in their bodies. It's just a free market perspective. Trump's never had that view. Okay, so he's an anti-drug guy, but he, until recently, did not go so far as to say he wanted to actually have a war on drugs, dropping bombs in Mexico, an actual hot war, as you might call it, with Mexico. Now, he's not the first Republican to say this, so he's adopting a pretty sort of common, unfortunately, Republican view these days. There's other presidential candidates like the Vivek Ramaswamy guy who's been pimping this for months now, as we pointed out. But it's not just candidates that are doing it. There's an actual bill in Congress right now with Republican sponsors that would authorize the U.S. military to go in and do something. And you know what? When you only have a hammer, everything looks like a nail. So yeah. In the U.S. military, your tool is violence. So presumably they're going to do something violent.
Did you hear the military was objecting to this?
No.
Yeah, I believe they've come out repeatedly over the, and this is, I don't even think this is recent, but over the decades, saying they don't want to be involved in going after the cartels.
Maybe because they realize it actually might have a blowback problem. You know, because they feel relatively safe going and dropping bombs in the Middle East, because it's kind of hard for those guys to make it back to the United States and blow things up. Obviously, it's happened, like 9/11, but it doesn't happen all the time.
Right, right.
Right? You want to go and start dropping bombs across the Mexican border and see what happens? You want, because we were talking earlier about how the cartels don't tend to target average people. They go after cartel members. They go after the competing cartels. They're not going around cutting the heads off of tourists. They're not going around cutting the heads off of people and their kids, just random people. That doesn't happen. When somebody gets their head chopped off, it's because they're with the Zetas or they're with the, you know, the Sandinistas or whoever it is that the different gangs are that are out there right now. Those are the people that are at risk from these activities. But if it's the U.S. military that's going across the border and blowing up cartel buildings and...
I mean, you know, this is the quickest way to get the Mexicans supporting the cartels.
Sure. If, well, a lot of them already do.
If you start... Well, yeah, sure. But even more so than they do now, because now they're going to take up arms against us. As opposed to currently, they're not taking... You know, the citizenry isn't taking up arms against us.
You know, the Mexican people aren't? Yeah. Well, I don't know how many of the Mexican people would do it, but
I mean, if they're getting
the
their homes bombs dropped on, sure they should.
Well, yeah, and your point there, I think, is that the U.S. military will, despite their best efforts, inevitably bomb the wrong places. They'll inevitably bomb a wedding party or they'll bomb a hospital.
It may not even be the wrong places. It might be their intended target because the Mexican cartels are right next, you know, they're living right next to the, you know, ordinary citizenry, right?
Yeah.
So they're going to start bombing and those bombs are going to explode and they're going to not only destroy the, you know, whatever, the safe house or whatever, they're going to destroy, you know, who knows how many houses are surrounding.
And now you're going to create Mexican terrorists out of that. So maybe what you're saying is the Pentagon is aware of the likelihood of blowback and the easy access of, I don't know how many thousands of miles the southern border is, right? Easy access to targets in the United States. Well, Trump doesn't care. According to a report over at RT.com, the Republican presidential frontrunner, Donald Trump, would send U.S. military assets to fight the drug cartels south of the Mexican border. He claimed in a campaign video seen by Fox News on Thursday, Trump outlined a plan to deploy U.S. forces to, quote, inflict maximum damage, unquote, on the criminal networks, adding that he would impose a naval embargo on the cartels while securing the full cooperation of neighboring governments to dismantle regional drug and people smuggling networks. A naval embargo on the cartels. I'm not sure what that is supposed to mean. I mean, I'm sure they're getting...
Sounds like Cuba all over again, where the U.S. surrounded Cuba to stop, the Russians, basically, from, you know, the nukes back in, what, the late 1960s, was it?
Well, I would think a naval embargo would mean that they're going to do something to try to stop them from getting drug shipments in from South America or something like that.
Yeah, they surround the ports and they won't let the ships in.
The former president promised to lean on Congress to adopt the death penalty for drug dealers and human traffickers while pushing federal authorities to target gangs and organized crime groups responsible for street-level drug trade. Fentanyl would be permanently listed as a federal-controlled substance under the second Trump presidency, he continued, warning that China would pay a steep price if it failed to clamp down on selling the chemical precursors used to make the drug. He claimed that he'd had a deal worked out with President Xi in which they weren't going to be sending anymore and they were going to impose the death penalty on those that made it in China. He said, when I'm back in the White House, I'll take action on day one to end this horrific plague and save American lives, because the U.S. drug war has all been so successful at saving lives. Trump's going to make it work. He's going to throw more money at the problem and more lives at the problem and more bombs at the problem, and that's going to make drugs go away.
You have to ask yourself, why are they sending fentanyl in the first place?
Because it's making money.
It's because of it's more concentrated, and so it's easier to get through, slip through the border in the first place. That's how we ended up with fentanyl, because of that. Mm-hmm. So it's if you get rid of the drug war, you don't have that problem anymore, and there's not that incentive to concentrate it, which then will reduce the number of overdoses.
And I think you were on the show the night we had Dana Larson on from Canada. the guy that's running the drug testing center up there and selling mushrooms openly, he pointed out, and it was really a great point, and I'd never even heard this point before, essentially that when you legalize a certain drug like cannabis, you actually see the market go towards the less strong versions of it in a lot of different ways. And he gave examples of, you know, being able to have cannabis-laced drinks and things like that, that obviously you can still get strong versions of cannabis, but there's actually a lot of demand out there for very light versions of cannabis that are available. And he gave some really good examples of it. I'm sorry, I'm not particularly familiar with what all of those are. But it's the prohibition that drives drugs to the harder versions, as you pointed out, because when you're smuggling, you've got to be able to get things into a small space, so you got to use the most high potential, high concentration.
For people to understand why this is an issue, it's because it has to do with the cutting process.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, they're not using, high-tech machinery to do it. They're doing this by hand.
Sure.
And it's really hard to cut in doses that won't cause an overdose consistently. It's the lack of consistency when you do it by hand that results in, when you go to dilute it, that results in there being some having not enough and some batches having too much.
Right.
And when you get too much, you overdose.
Yeah. So this is more from Trump. He said, under Joe Biden, our hard-won progress has been surrendered, along with the surrender of our southern border. He lamented, blaming the incumbent for, quote, fentanyl and other ultra-deadly poisons stealing more than 100,000 American lives every single year. Quote, in addition to punishing dealers, Trump has proposed increasing federal funds for faith-based counseling and rehab programs for drug addicts, suggested family members of addicts should be able to take leave from work in order to care for their loved ones. Trump is far from the only member of his party to suggest sending the U.S. military to fight drug cartels, an idea that the Mexican president at the moment, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, has staunchly opposed as a violation of Mexican sovereignty. So they're not going to get the Mexican government to go along with this.
Nope. That's why it's going to be a hot war.
Fentanyl seizures at the U.S. southern border more than tripled between 2020 and 2022, and 2023's numbers have already outstripped last year's. With 6 months left on the calendar, the number of fentanyl overdose deaths has jumped 94% since 2019, and it remains the leading cause of death among Americans aged 18 to 45. Now, the way it sounds so far, and again, I haven't heard Trump's full speech about this. I would be curious to know exactly what he's saying. He's talking tough. Talking about a naval embargo on the cartels and, quote, inflicting maximum damage, unquote. What does that actually mean? Does that mean going in and dropping bombs on Mexican cartel locations? Or is he just talking about a naval embargo, which wouldn't be as severe?
I think the only way to really look at this seriously is to look at the facts, right? And the facts say Mexico's not going to let us in. If the government won't let us in, their military won't let us in, right? That means we literally have to start bombing Mexican bases, and the blockade isn't going to be,
blockade's an act of war.
Yeah, it's an act of war, and it's going to be blocking all shipping into and out of Mexican ports.
That's a huge problem. That's a huge problem not just for the people of Mexico, but a huge problem for the people of the United States.
Right. There is a lot of trade that goes on between the United States and Mexico.
Big time.
They're one of our leading trading partners, actually.
For obvious reasons. They're right there, and they're cheap.
Right. So if you cut Mexico off, that's going to have serious economic consequences on the United States.
Yeah, I think a lot of this is just posturing. Honestly,
for sure. It's got to be.
Right, because as you pointed out, the Pentagon doesn't agree with it. At least you've heard that that's the case. And we know that Trump, in his last 4 years, was talked in and out of things that he had originally wanted to do by his staff at the Pentagon or whatever. So if a general goes to Trump after he gets elected or whatever and says, look, this is a really terrible idea, he's just not going to do it. He'll just break whatever promises he's been making. This is, I think, ultimately just tough talk, but it's still disturbing. It's still, I think, worthy of being concerned about, and it makes him seem like a less international peace-oriented candidate. Again, not saying he's a peace guy, but just compared to the other monsters out there,
yeah,
he did more peace-oriented stuff during his presidency than many have in the last decades of the United States. So
he did wage economic war on China, though.
With the tariffs, you mean?
Yes.
But that's an economic war against the American people, too.
I would agree.
Yeah. Because yeah, who pays for tariffs?
The Me customer, and you.
The customer
yep,
pays.
Yep, yeah. Yep. Yep.
Did Biden roll that back?
Let's see. Biden, no. Trump actually. Okay, so what happened was under Trump, it was started under as a 10% tariff on goods coming from China into the United States. And it wasn't actually.
Goods or electronic goods?
It wasn't just electronic goods. It was a lot of goods. Mm. It wasn't all goods, but it was a lot of goods. It was a result. It was about 13%, I believe it was, across the board. If you took Walmart, the biggest quote I have is from Walmart, like CEO, and he said something like 13%. It's going to increase the cost of goods overall on average about 13% across all of Walmart. So now I don't know if that was when it went up to 25% or if it was when it was. It must have been 25% because otherwise I can't imagine it would be more than 10%, right? So it must have been when it was 25%. But basically, Trump introduced it as a 10% tariff on China, and then he raised it to a 25% tariff on China.
Jeez.
And then when Biden came into power, I'm sorry, at the end of Trump's presidency, he dropped the tariff altogether.
Really?
When Biden came into power, he immediately reintroduced the 25% tariff. So as far as I know,
so it's still there.
I think it's, yeah, wow.
It's crazy.
It's not like, it's bizarre, like, the way it's working, because, like, sometimes it seems like we're paying a 25% tariff, and sometimes it seems like we're not. And I think it might have to do partially with the quantity and the amount of the dollar value of the goods. And there's all these rules associated with it, too. Like, if you import, like, for example, a whole computer, you don't pay the tariff. If you import the components that make up a computer and then you assemble a computer in the United States, well, you pay a tariff on everything.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. So it actually costs. Now, this is supposed to protect American jobs, but in reality, it forces American jobs out of the United States because now you can't.
You got to build the computer outside.
Right. You can't build the computer, you know, in the United States without paying more than your competitors that build it in China.
It's ridiculous. I mean, I'm somebody who builds my own computers, so, like, this hurts me, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
yeah, because you're paying 25% more for those
privilege
parts
of doing it yourself.
Put it together yourself.
Which takes more time, and, you know, why not just pay someone in China to do it?
Yep.
So I got another story here pulled up with regards to the Trump statements. He claims, quote, "When I'm president, we will not rest until we have ended the drug addiction crisis in America. We will win. It will happen. We have to win in 2024 because our country is going to hell." Well, listen, there's nothing you can do with violence to end drug addiction. That's not going to solve the problem. You can go and try bombing Mexico if you want to. I mean, we've already talked about the blowback that's going to happen from that. You're going to create Mexican terrorists. You're going to create all kinds of violence. It's going to be insane. But if they did that, they wouldn't end drug addiction.
No.
They would just drive the price up.
Well, you know what's funny about this, too, is we've already seen the cartels moving their operations, like growing operations, in at least, like, I think at least weed, to the United States. Like, they've already started doing it.
Really?
Yeah, and they're using, I guess they're using, like, I think it's like Arizona and...
Legal states.
Probably, but also like national parks and things like that to grow the drugs. And I don't know why that is. I'm not sure if that's because it's harder to transit or it's just cheaper, like business wise, it's more economical or what. But they've already started doing it, right? Like that's already a major problem that they're facing in the north, in the West. So I'm not really sure. You know, I mean, you probably are just going to see more of that than you already do.
Yeah, good chance of that. But the thing is, you're never going to end drug addiction until you end it at the source. Because they've always been fighting, you know, just trying to stop drug dealers and trying to stop drug shipments and thinking they can just cut off the supply, which never happened. It only maybe will impact the supply temporarily. One shipment got caught. Okay, well, the next 10
interestingly, we've heard from military that they actually were protecting the drugs, like when we were in Afghanistan.
Yeah, Silver Dave talks about
it. I mean, this isn't, how is it, and the part of the reason for that, as I understand, had to do with the fact that if you don't allow that, then it completely destroys the economy of the country, and therefore, you end up with more terrorists and more problems.
And you got the stories for years about how the CIA has been protecting drug traffic and actually maybe even bringing the drugs
in. That's themselves. How they got their black budget, if I recall correctly, right. was through what the drug trade.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's not going to end.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, to some extent, a lot of this is just show. It's just tough talk to get people's votes, right? We understand that that's what's likely going on here. But if you actually do care, if you out there listening to this show actually care about drug addicts, which is what a lot of this is sort of premised on, right? Oh, well, we need to stop drug addiction. It's a crisis. Well, okay, here's how you do it. And there's no guaranteed way to do it. But the best way to do it is to strike at the root. And I don't mean strike with violence. I mean you solve the root of the problem, which is people hate their lives.
Yep.
Right? That's you talk to drug addicts. There's plenty of drug users who aren't addicts, okay? So we need to separate the drug users from the drug abusers. There's two categories there. There's a category of the people who, they just want to smoke a joint at the end of the day or drink some alcohol at the end of the day, crack a beer while they're, watching television at night before they go to sleep and then wake up to go to work the next day. These are productive people. They just have a particular drug they like. Maybe they're weekend warriors. They take, some harder drugs on the weekend or something like that. But by the time they sober up, they're back at work the next week. These are drug users. These are responsible drug users, okay? These people are a lot of times people that end up going to prison because they get caught with their drugs, even though they didn't have a problem with them. Then there's the people that have a problem. There's the drug abusers. There's the people who are using constantly. They're using while they're at work, if they have a job, if they don't have a job. They're
maybe tripping over them on the street.
Right. They've lost their home or they're just on welfare, so they spend all their money on drugs and they're completely addicted. They can't take care of their family. They can't take care of themselves. These are the people who are completely messed up in the head. They have no hope. They hate their lives. They may have grown up with drug addicts or parents or abusive parents or whatever, and they just don't see a light at the end of the tunnel. And, of course, as economic circumstances continue to spiral down, as inflation continues to rise, as fewer people are able to make ends meet to get the bills paid, to keep food on the table for their families, you're going to see people falling off the wagon. You're going to see people who have quit doing drugs go back on because they're depressed, they're frustrated, they're angry at their lives, and they want to escape. And until you can solve that problem, and that's not something you can just do in, 2 weeks or 2 years or whatever, you have to change serious economic circumstances. You have to actually try freedom in order to give these people potential at a better life because things aren't looking bright. More coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.